All right. What a blessing to have you here today. Wow, we're so blessed to be in church. Aren't you glad you're in church? You know, we're going to be going through a topic in the next few weeks and months on passion. Passion. You know, the Bible says that if you seek, you will find. Amen? Amen. And I think that during the summer, as we get ready for the summer, we're going through a time of seeking down deep in our hearts, analyzing our hearts, and seeing what kind of passion we have. Is it real? Or are we just going through the motions in life? And that's kind of, God's challenging me because, you know, it doesn't matter what your title is. You know, your pastor or worship pastor or youth pastor or the leaders we have in this church, you have to analyze yourself just the same. What kind of passion are you? Just because you're able to put a sermon together doesn't mean that you have more passion than anybody else, right? God is working with us uniquely, and the question that's being asked, I think, in the next few weeks and months in this church is going to be, are we real? Is our passion for God real? Or are we just going through the motions because it's a checklist item? You know, I'm supposed to be a good person. I should go to church. You know, check. That's not passion. That's religion, right? That's going through the motions in life. And as I was putting this together for today, that really hit home to me is passion. Who's passionate about serving God? Huh? Anybody here seeking to serve God with passion? Let's see, raise your hand. Let me see. 1, 2, okay, 90% of you. Awesome. The other 10%, hopefully you'll get some passion. Hopefully you'll get some passion before the sermon is over today. But That I'm excited about it because I know that God wants us to keep growing because this is the year 2019 to sow and to grow. Are you determined to get closer to God and to grow? And I get excited because I see some. I've talked to some of you. I see you're on that journey. You're on that journey that I want more of God. I want more of God in my life. I don't want to live that up and down life where I'm lukewarm anymore. I don't want that anymore. And When you get to that point and you settled it in your heart that you don't want that for your life, then God's able to do some cool things, some amazing things, signs and wonders things. So that's exciting. Everyone have your notes with you? Did I print enough notes today? I hope I printed enough. Did we have any left over? A few? If anybody needs one, just raise your hand and they'll get it to you real quick. All right. Praise the Lord. How many are left? So I know if I'm printing the right amount. About 3. I'm just printing the right amount. All right. Praise the Lord. Bring out your notes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're here because we love you. And we want more of you in our lives. And your word is truth. And we dig into your word. We read the Bible stories. We read the examples. We read your direction. And we know that you're a good God, and we know that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and it's a good plan. And we know that circumstances come and go, and trials and storms come and go, but what remains the same is that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what you have planned for the people who follow you. So, Lord, we look forward to that with hope and expectation, waiting for the next miracle and the next time your hand moves in our situation, and it will. Our faith is strong, our hope in you is strong, and our determination is strong. And we pray above all that our passion never fades, that our passion remains strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of this sermon is Don't Lose Your Passion. All right. For those of you that don't know, I gave an attempt on Wednesday to speak in Spanish at the Bible study. Magali, how did I do? Did I do okay? I did 5 out of 10. All right. I did my best. But, you know, when I went to kinder, I didn't even know English. And then by the time I was out in third grade, I didn't even know Spanish. So that's what happened to me. It's called third generation, right? Hispanics. But on Wednesday, Brother Cassiano was out, so I was able to be with the community center and spend some time there in Spanish, and it was pretty interesting, I would say. But I think I did okay. I had good translators too, so in case I needed them. But the title of the sermon is "Don't Lose Your Passion." Don't lose your passion. Remember to take some notes as you go through the sermon today, and if you get a thought, like, you know, I got to remember that, then write it down and then pray about it. Pray during the week when you pray. So I really enjoyed last week's time with our district supervisor, Pastor Wendy. She preached a really, really great sermon, and she speaks very well, and she really, really, really was impressed with the impact potential that we have in this church. We're going to impact people. I really believe that even more than we have so already. But there was three things that she mentioned that I wanted to repeat in my introduction. And she said this. She said three things. One, we are called to an eternal calling to Christ. Right? Each and every one of us down deep in our hearts are called to be in relationship with God. An eternal calling to Christ. And we are all, that's why you have that in you that keeps telling you need to be in church, or you need to be doing this, or you need to come closer to God. You know what that is? That's the eternal calling of God that He's put in your heart to draw close to Him. And that's why that happens. That's why you have those moments where, oh, I need to get closer to God. I feel like I've been drifting. That's that Spirit of God that's in you, and it's in all of us. So number one, you have an eternal calling to Christ. Number two, you have a temporary calling and assignment on this earth. You know, you have a temporary assignment on this earth to impact people for God. You know that. Each and every one of you, without exception, this does not just apply to leaders and pastors. Every single one of you that can hear me right now, you have a temporary calling to an assignment for God. A specific assignment. There are people that you can reach that I can never reach. And there are people I can reach that you can never reach. But we all have a specific calling and assignment. And that's important. So you have a calling for an eternal calling to Christ, a temporary calling to an assignment. And thirdly, we have a calling to live our daily lives by a different standard. I got these three points that she made, and I wrote them down, and I hung on to them because there's a lot of truth in this. You have that in you to naturally to be called to the Lord. Number two, you have a temporary assignment here on earth. And number three, you have a calling to be different than the world. What's the Bible say? Be ye not conformed to this world. That doesn't mean you don't live in it, right? You got to go through it, but don't be conformed by the world. Don't be shaped by the world. You should be shaped by the Word of God, right? In the beginning was God, and God was the Word. The Word was God, and Jesus was the Word. And you know, it all comes together in the Holy Trinity. Be conformed by the Word of God, not by the world. And so you have a calling to be different. You're not of this kingdom. You're of another kingdom. But while we live on this kingdom, we live for Him. Amen? Amen. You know, people take that to the extreme and they become so holy that they can't touch anybody. You know, Pastor Green coined the phrase, "Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." That makes a lot of sense, right? You know, get so religious and into the act of religion that you're no longer any earthly good. We're people, right? We're people. We need to live through life. We need to have deal with our coworkers. We need to deal with life as it hits us. But we are called to a different standard, right? We're called to a different standard. So the main point today there on your notes: don't lose your personal passion. So let me say this first. In order to answer your calling, these callings, to its fullest, we must never lose our passion in loving our God. So the main point is, don't lose your personal passion to love God and to answer the specific call God has for your life. Don't lose that passion. And you are here today because you have a passion to want to be in church, to hear from God, to be in His presence, to be with other believers, to get closer to God. So that's all good. And so the foundational scripture that I want to start with is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We all know this scripture, but it's good to be reminded. The scripture says this: "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So Paul says, you know, I can't be with you all the time, Philippians. You may act a certain way in front of me. At the end of the day, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is important. You know, God deals with us uniquely. And I said, and I preached on this a while back. A sin for one person may not always be a sin for another person. Because everyone's working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Now, I have to always caution you when I say that to make sure I'm clear. The Ten Commandments is for everybody. It's not like you get to follow it and I don't. But there are certain things that are considered sin that are specific to you. And that's what I'm talking about, that He deals with us specifically. There are things that the Holy Spirit may be revealing to you and you disobey. Well, that would be sin, right? There be things that the Bible says that for you to know what is right and not do it is a sin. So there are things that are specific to you. So you kind of have two types of sins. You got the moral commandments, and then you have disobedience, right, to the Spirit leading you. And everyone has to work that out. And that's why I wanted to start with this scripture, because your passion, how you approach your relationship with Jesus Christ, your spiritual life, this is between you and God. As a pastor, all I can do is kind of guide you. At the end of the day, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in prayer, in reading, in that connection. You know, Kathleen told us when she was growing up that her grandfather taught her that there's no grandchildren in heaven. In other words, you don't get connected to God because your parents are Christians. Right? You don't have a relationship with God because your parents have a relationship with God. Each one of us has to work out our own salvation and work it out. And it's personal to you. You must have a personal relationship with God. Your parents' spirituality affects you, but it won't get you to heaven. Each one of you has to make that decision. So work it out. That's why that scripture is important. You have to do what you have to do to be close to God. And do it with passion. And do it with passion. And every one of us, that means different things. So all of us are kind of on a different journey, but we're all united in the fact that the journey is God's journey. And it's good. Amen. So work out your own salvation. Not even pastors can work it out for you, or leaders. Pastors can see fruits and people can see fruits, but they can't read your heart. They can't read what's down deep in your heart. That being said, it's important that each and every one of us analyze our own hearts and be determined to answer the plan that God has for us. So how can we best position ourselves to stay passionate about God? That's the question there in your notes. How can you best position yourself to be passionate about God? First, don't be Solomon. We're going to read that story of Solomon. Don't be like Solomon. Don't lose your personal passion for God. At the very least, if some of you want to be risk it, and I don't advise this at all, be like Samson. At least he came back to God at the end, right? At least when it was all said and done, he repented. And some people, they live life like that. And they play that, what do they call, Russian roulette with life. And we have some loved ones that we prayed for and we prayed for and we prayed for. And thank God, at the end of their life, they repented and they're in heaven and we get to, and God answered our prayer. It's all good, but you live a life like with misery that way. So I'm not, don't risk it. What does the Bible say? Today is the day of salvation, right? In other words, don't count on tomorrow. You may not get that chance to repent, right? Not everybody gets that chance in their last days. Sometimes it happens suddenly. So you don't want to be in that Russian roulette. But you want, if you love God, you don't do that kind of stuff, right? If you have passion for God, you just serve him. So how do you put yourself in a position to be passionate about God? First, don't be like Solomon, and we're going to read that in detail. At the very least, be Samson if you're a late bloomer. Right? You've heard of that? Yeah, that's a late bloomer. I guess we have late blooming Christians as well. But to maximize your life blessing here on earth, strive to be more like David, a sinner who repents and humbled himself even as king. And so the story of David is a good story because David was king, and he was confronted with his sin that he didn't even realize because he had got so wrapped up in his power. He didn't realize it, and he was confronted with sin. And instead of the king saying, I don't want to hear it, get rid of that prophet, get rid of that guy, what did he do? He quoted the most, when I read this, I'm not going to read it today, I almost tear up every time I read that passage in David that says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. That was after that sin. And it just brings tears to my eyes because that was passion. When you read that scripture in Psalms, that was passion. When he says, cast not away thy Holy Spirit from me, like he's begging God. You know, I just love that scripture so much. And he had passion. So be like David. We're going to study this a little bit. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. One through 15. So if you know the story in the Bible, Solomon is David's son. And David was a great king, and God did amazing things through David, right? Starting with David and Goliath, and then on and on, victory after victory, war after war. David just was a giant of God. And he made a lot of mistakes. But at the end of the day, he repented and he set everything right with God. And God even said, you're the apple of my eye, you know. There was something about David that was special. And God really loved David. And he even said, Jesus is going to come out of your seed. Basically, that's what happened. Jesus Christ came out of the line of David. And so it's an amazing life and story. He's not perfect, but he had passion for God. And then Solomon comes along, his son. Well, can you imagine his son? He saw a lot of his greatness in his father. So Solomon is now king, and now he's got to live up to his father's reputation. Well, that's kind of tough to do. So here's where it starts. And Solomon, let's start with verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord and walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense and high places, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. But that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offering did Solomon offer unto the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him his great king kindness, that has given him a son to sit on his throne, and as it is until this day. And now, O Lord my God, so this is Solomon speaking. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of the people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this, that he had asked this thing. So God said, what do you want, Solomon? And Solomon says, he didn't ask for riches, and he didn't ask for this. He said, he realized, I'm pretty ignorant. I'm a kid. So he asked for wisdom and understanding to guide the people. That's a pretty wise thing to ask for. And God was impressed. And he says there, and the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou had asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done accordingly to thy word. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which has not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like thee. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen the days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered a burnt offering. So he was having a dream. So God didn't speak to him audibly. But Solomon had this, and he knew it was from the Lord. And he got this direction. And he had wisdom. So at the beginning of his kingdom, Solomon wanted to live up to his father's reputation. But he realized he was young and naive, so he did not ask God for riches, but he asked for wisdom. So Solomon had it all. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 25, just a few scriptures down. 1 Kings chapter 25. Solomon had it all. He was wise. He was so wise that other kings from all over would want to hear. I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 4. You know, there is no 1 Kings 25. Did you realize that? 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25. So he was wise and everybody wanted to hear him because he had so much wisdom. He had it all. So in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan to Beersheba. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses. How many thousand? 40,000 stalls of horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon. For all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. He had everything. Barley also and straw for the horses. Even the horses were living good. He had everything. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And he gave him a largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. And verse 32, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast and fowl. So he knew about all kinds of topic. He knew about global warming, the environment. He knew all of that stuff, right? Well, it was talking about trees. He knew about the trees, about the animals. He knew. He had so much wisdom. And then if we go to 1 Kings chapter 9, he builds the first temple. And it came to pass, verse 1, chapter 9, that Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the king's house. And the temple was beautiful. The first temple made out of gold because he had everything. See, he was living off all the benefits of what his father had established, all the blessings, everything. He was living it the best you could live on this earth. And the king of And the Lord said unto him, verse 3, I heard thy prayer and thy supplication thou hast made before me. I have allowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, and according to all that I have commanded thee, and you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish thy throne and the kingdom of Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail three a man upon a throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them and this house, and I will have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? And they shall say, because they forsook the Lord, their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt. So God's basically saying, this is a beautiful temple. I dwell in this temple. But let me give you a warning here. If you follow me, everything's going to be awesome. But if you choose to serve other gods, then people are going to ask, why, what happened to them? And they're going to know that it was because they turned from the Lord, their God. That the same God that brought them out of Egypt, the Red Sea opened, and they went through it, and all of this wonderful stuff happened, and David established that's all of that. The same God that led them to that, they denied him, or they turned from him. So it's very clear. So why did I say, don't be Solomon? Because Solomon, in all his wisdom, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 11, in all his wisdom, Solomon had a problem. And his problem was passion to a relationship, his own relationship with God. You see, Solomon was living off his father's passion. He was living off what his father did and how obedient his father was. And when he started his life, he got that, and he was trying to do the right thing. But he got sidetracked, and he didn't have that personal passion with God. And here's what happened. So all of this was going great, but in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, but King Solomon. You know, when the Bible says, but, that's not good. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go to them, neither shall they come to you, for surely they will turn away your heart. So God had told them, there are certain people I don't want you to fellowship with and marry and so forth, because their heritage is evil. They have other gods, and there's a darkness there, and I don't want you to be mixing up with that darkness. And Solomon, because he lost his personal relationship and personal passion for God, he couldn't see it. He couldn't see that this was harmful. He couldn't see the potential danger. And so what happened was he married people from outside that God told him not to. And the Bible says he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Who turned away his heart? I'm sure he was trying to keep peace in the home. And then next thing you know, he had all these gods lined up in his home for peace. And it came to pass that when Solomon got old, that his wives, they turned his heart away from his God. And the heart was not perfect with the Lord as the heart was with David. And Solomon went after Ashtoreth the goddess. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord. What does that mean, went not fully after the Lord? He was doing it without passion. He was kind of doing it, but not fully. He was kind of serving the Lord. Does that sound familiar? If we're all honest, We're not really, but we're there, kind of, sort of. And he lost his passion. He lost his passion for that relationship with God. Why? Because he got corrupted by all the different thoughts. And a man with so much wisdom who had everything, he could not distinguish the difference between his carnal passion and his passion for God, to love God. Solomon fell into a trap of believing that loving and accepting all gods was the righteous thing to do for the sake of peace or for the sake of this. However, the Ten Commandments never change, right? The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not have any gods before him. So I read the story of Solomon to kind of bring it back to us, right? It's about analyzing our own hearts. When you read scripture, you should always analyze your own heart to be humble. Whenever you read scripture and you keep thinking about somebody else, you know, that's not a good way to read scripture. Like, yeah, so-and-so needs to do better there. Yeah, so-and-so, look at that. That so-and-so is doing that. That, don't read the scriptures that way. Not healthy. When you read scriptures, use it for your personal life and to discern right from wrong. And so the Ten Commandments are set in order to avoid the same trap in our lives that Solomon fell into. You must have your own personal passion to love God. Amen? Your own passion. I'm going to ask Michelle to come up and as we get ready to close. And that's my challenge for you today. Here, you read the story. We read the story of Solomon. Don't be Solomon. Don't end your life without that passion for God. Be David. David also sinned. David also made mistakes. And Solomon could have just like, okay, I made mistakes and repented. So David had that heart, a repentive heart. So that's my challenge to you today. Is analyze your heart and make sure you have passion to serve God. Make sure you have passion to live for God, to follow His destiny that He has for you. You're here today for a reason. A reason. God wants you to hear this message so that you can go out of this place and make sure your flame doesn't die. Put things in your life that keep your relationship with God strong. Make sure your Bible is being read. You know, make sure you have time to pray. Make sure you have time to ask God for direction in life. Make sure you make those times, be passionate about those things. That's the challenge to the church, because God's ready to use us. He's ready to use you. He's ready to use us as a church. But there's got to be people that are real and people of passion for God. So Solomon loved God because of his blessings that he saw for his father, and his passion for God was from a distance, more from the legacy of his father David. And you're underlined there in your notes, you must have your own personal passion to love God. That's what that underline is. And Solomon did not have his own personal passion to love and be obedient to God. So how can we be more like David? How did David keep his passion? And I just jotted down three things for you to kind of challenge your own heart with. The reason that David was able to keep his passion is because David was quick to repent. I want to ask you this: do you have that heart? When you've run away from the Lord, when you've done some things wrong, are you quick to repent? Are you humble and, Lord, I need to do better? Are you honest with yourself? So important. A growing, mature, strong Christian is quick to repent. Amen? And we kind of lose that in the church. Don't be embarrassed to repent. Don't prolong it. Be quick to repent. David did that. And I'm challenging you today, Be a heart that is quick to repent. What else did David do to keep his personal passion? No matter how rich he was or how great the victory, he always gave God the glory for everything in his life. If you read the book of Psalms, that's David, right? Just thanking God for protecting him, thanking God for everything. And he was king. He could have taken credit, I'm awesome king, but no, he didn't. And number three in your notes there, David kept his personal passion. He was willing to take action when God gave him clear direction. Go kill Goliath, okay. Go to that battle, okay. Don't go to that battle, okay. Right? David was ready to act when God was clear, he was ready to act. Can we say the same thing? When God is speaking to us, to commit more here, to serve here, to do this thing here, to go speak to so-and-so here, to love our enemies here. Are we quick to take action and say, yes, Lord, here am I, use me? David was. See, David had these characteristics, and that's why God said David was the apple of his eye. Because David was quick to repent. David always gave him glory in the good and the bad, and David always acted on God's clear direction. And that's how I want to end this today. You want to make sure you keep your personal passion. Maybe you've been drifting. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today if you will close your eyes and bow your heads. Maybe you've been drifting and maybe your passion, you're not sure. If that's you today, I want to pray with you today because I really believe that today is a day to set in motion a passion. A passion to serve God, a passion to put God first, and a passion to launch off this summer with a passion. I'm going to count to three, and that's you. I'm not going to hold it long, but I really want to give an opportunity, if that's you today, to respond. Say, yeah, that's me. I want to launch off with a new passion for God. I ask in the count of three if you'll just come to the altar. And I just want to pray in agreement to launch off this passion for Him. Don't be Solomon. Be David, quick to repent, quick to answer the call, quick to give God glory, honor, and praise.